You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
.905, right on time, like I normally am.
Yeah.
Joining me from Grand Bury, Texas, is the one and only Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
Put my headset on, hang on, sir.
Roger. Stand by.
Okay.
You ready?
All right. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I was laughing. Good thing you didn't have... I wasn't live when you were saying, right on time, like usual. I was cracking up.
What do you mean? Why would you be laughing?
Because that was funny. You know, usually when someone says a funny punchline, you laugh.
Oh, you thought that was
so
funny?
A funny punchline.
Did you ever serve with Colonel Fox?
Actually, I met him when he was in Quantico. He was like in charge of all the academies. You know, he was like the head of, he was doing something when they had like the staff academy, the corporal's course or the corporal's academy, whatever the hell they called it back in the day.
All
of that stuff. And he was in charge of it. He was like the CEO. And he spoke to us when I was security forces, you know, going to, and I just, like I said, just briefly met him. You know, sitting in an auditorium, and he was speaking to us. And I was just kind of, the guy was a well-spoken, really calm demeanor. He was, Medal of Honor winner, of course, but I just was kind of taken for the fact that he's just a really calm individual, really unassuming, but you knew that he was you knew what the hell he was talking about.
He's one of those guys that when he walked in the room, right, everybody got quiet.
Yeah.
And he wasn't?
And not out of,
no,
not out of fear, like you feared the guy, but out of respect.
Right.
He wanted to. If you wanted, if he was going to say something, you make sure you heard it. Just,
yeah.
You know, I just racked my brain trying to think of what he talked about, but I knew it was like, kind of like, wow.
His career is really unique. 43 years of service. He achieves the rank of first sergeant. And then he goes to officer candidate school to become a second lieutenant. Have you ever heard of anybody else?
No. He was battlefield commissioned. And then after Vietnam, he was reverted. And then he went to,
Okay, hold on. Let me read his bio. His bio says that he was promoted to first sergeant in 1966.
Right.
Okay, hold on.
No, he was battlefield commission guy, man. Then he was reverted.
And then what happened?
And then he went through all of the, then he went back to the school and everything else. I sent you his bio or his thing. Where did I put it now?
He's written a book called Marine. The title of it is Marine Rifleman, 43 Years in the Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the book that he's written. You can get it for $5 on Amazon. It's $3.99 in paperback. So
okay.
I would be curious.
He enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1950, okay?
Right.
Company I-35,
right.
151, Bronze Star, okay,
right.
Got it.
Wounded.
Go to Vietnam. Okay. He was a recruiter from 1957 to 1960. He was promoted for sergeant in 66. Shortly afterward, he was commissioned as the Marine Second Lieutenant.
Yeah.
Fox served in the Vietnam War. Okay. No, I never heard of it. I thought he was a battlefield commission guy.
Yeah, I didn't see when I was reading his, like, you go to WikiLeaks and things like that. I didn't see Battlefield Commission in there. But that would certainly make more sense than, yeah, as a first sergeant, he said, I want to be a lieutenant.
That was actually pretty common. I mean, you think about it, Mac.
As a first sergeant, though.
Yeah, but still, Mac.
Have you ever? I never heard of that.
Yeah, actually, I have. And
wow.
So, yeah, a lot of guys, they took, you know, a lot of guys, it's, if you look at, there's a book out that talks about, like, how there were master sergeants and even sergeant majors that, when Vietnam kicked off and the Marine Corps needed these senior officers in position, they LBO'd these guys, they did whatever they could to get them up there. And then they reverted them all back.
Right. I'd never heard, and maybe it's not applicable in this case, was somebody being a non-battlefield commission, right, and doing that. Do you know what I mean?
No, I've heard of that. I mean, I've heard of it. First sergeant going, in Vietnam. I don't think I don't think you hear a lot of it, but I think it took place. I've heard of it before, besides him.
Yeah.
But he was never a Marine gunner, so there's a strike against him. So, I mean, he's a great guy, but he could have been, like, legendary status had he ever held the rank of Marine gunner. Then he would have been a legend.
It takes too long, all right? It takes too long.
Yeah, and maybe he wasn't qualified.
Well, no, I mean, you're a gunner when you're a gunner right out of the chute, right?
If you're selected, yeah, you pick up CWO2 and then Marine gunner. It's like, it's on your promotion thing. I do hereby appoint this Marine Chief Warrant Officer to Marine gunner in the United States Marine Corps.
You want to hear
only the cream, and only the top part of the cream, the richest part of that cream.
Shut up. You want to hear some interesting 20 and 21st.
It's okay to just be cream.
20 and 21st century Mustangs.
What? Like a car?
No.
Or a horse.
Stop it. Guys who were enlisted and then became officers.
See, I don't consider myself as a Mustang.
Well, neither do we, because you're not a real officer. You're like this pretend thing. Yeah, you're like
a pretend thing.
You're from the pineapple tribe. Oh, you're one of the pineapples.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burst.
And I wasn't a real officer. I don't know what the hell I was, because you know what? There was nothing that you could have told me to do that I would have done. So I must have been a little bit higher than that.
Hey, that's a personality flaw. Okay, that has nothing to do with the rank structure.
Because it's printed out. That's how stupid Marines are.
Marines are
stupid because you print out the pay chart and it's enlisted on the bottom part, warrant officers in the middle, and officers on top.
Thank you.
Every fucking buddy thinks like,
oh, now, the what do we say about saying the F word in the third hour?
I just said it like a Freudian slip.
Let me just tell you this. I got counseled like before we go on the air, like I'll call him and, you know, we'll chit chat for a minute and then we go on. So one day I call him and goes, hey, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, hey, man, you got to stop using the F word in the third hour. Like, there's people listening. And now the only person since then that has used the F word in the third hour is Mike on a consistent basis.
Let me defend myself.
You fucking hypocrite.
We're still in America.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, listen. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, had you not pointed it out to all the little listeners that I said that word, it would have went by like just another vocabulary word. However, the difference is when you say it literally like a drunken sailor in Singapore.
Oh,
it's flippity flip 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 flippity flip flip.
No, I said it that one day that had something. It was the.
I'm a bolt. I'm a bolt gun when it comes to the F word. I'm a bolt gun. Precision, one at a time. You, my friend, you're not even a belt fed machine gun. You're a minigun. Just like switch on and then pull the other trigger and then it starts coming out.
Okay. Let me just tell you, it was absolutely justified because what the reaction was when it was Bo Bergdahl when the news broke that he was going, he's not going to the brig. Zero.
No, and I can understand that. But
so then why didn't you defend me? Why didn't you defend me to the people that said, oh, you know, Max had the F word and so many times. Why didn't you say, hey, look, did you hear the story? That's a perfectly rational response to Bo Bergdahl.
One precisely latent GPS guided profanity bomb is all you need. Not you're a B-52, Max. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Come on.
You don't need to drop. We're not.
Bergdahl
got.
Don't do this to me. Bergdahl got no brig time. No brig time.
Carbon bomb.
Bro,
precision.
No
GPS.
No
brig. JDAM. JSTOL.
No
brig time.
Okay. So this is what happens.
JSTOL profanity bomb dropper.
This is what happens when you deal with
right through the window.
The pineapple people. Okay. This is what you get. Okay, Tommy Franks.
The Polynesian cook.
Tommy Franks.
Wait, you got a pineapple on your collar. I'm the Polynesian cook. What? No, sir, you're not.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's a great line.
Really, I could trick you, you stupid idiot? Oh.
The Tommy Franks.
Is
enlist-
IQ the same of his shoe size.
Tommy Franks enlisted as a cryptological analyst. Attended the artillery and missile officer, OCS. Yeah, Tommy.
Who's
Franks?
Tommy Franks?
Former was he chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff? Tommy Franks, general.
Was he an army guy?
Yeah, army guy. Al Gray.
I don't pay attention to him.
Served as an enlisted Marine, rose to the rank of sergeant.
Yeah, I knew Al Gray did.
All right, David Hackworth.
Like a staff sergeant, right?
Rose to the rank of sergeant. David Hackworth.
Oh, I thought he was Tesla.
Yeah, David Hackworth enlisted in Korea.
About faith.
Carwood Lipton from the movie from the Band of Brothers thing. He enlisted and then received the battlefield commission as a second lieutenant. And Secretary of Defense.
Real famous guy, Mike Musselman. Another guy.
Secretary of
he
Defense.
As a enlisted guy.
Enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1969.
Who, Webb?
No, it says Mattis. I don't believe that. Mattis Pryor enlisted?
Yeah, Mattis was enlisted. Yeah,
was he?
Yeah.
I did. Sure.
Yes, he was.
Chuck Yeager. Enlisted in the Army
but
Air Force in 1981.
No.
In 1941. As a mechanic.
Yeah, he was in the Army.
Yeah.
He was in the Army. When they switched it to the Army Air Corps.
That doesn't count, being in the Army?
No, because the Air Force... I always give a hard time to this. So, Air Force, they're kind of military. Just because, like I said, just because you dress up like a soldier doesn't make you a soldier. Okay?
You got to do soldier you got to do soldier work?
Yeah, you got to do soldierly type duties, right?
That eliminates
right,
a lot
without
of
complaining,
people.
Air Force. So, but the Air Force is a child of the Army.
Yes.
That's kind of weird. You know, people say, well, the Marine Corps is a child of the Navy. No, we were kind of simultaneously, we were twins. It's just that we came out as the male twin, the Navy came out as the female twin.
No, I don't agree with that. We were kind
of,
we're kind of the younger brother, not twins. Twins would imply some form of equality, and there was never that between the Navy and the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps was like the younger stepbrother. But he was really mean and a badass, and the older sister needed him to kick everybody else's ass. So she,
I agree with that.
So
but
she,
the Navy's always been in the relationship.
So she could be in charge.
Yeah,
that's the relationship.
Just like
between,
a bossy, messy type sister.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
And that's where
like,
the whole.
Whatever.
That's where the whole, you're a department of the Navy. Yeah, we are. The men's department, that's where that whole thing comes from, right? Why didn't the Army Air Corps become a department of the Army And I bet the Army tried to make that happen, too. They didn't want to lose their air. You know, so think about that. The Army Air Corps, that was a fairly potent weapon that the Army had.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
And it didn't become the Air Force until, like, 1947.
That must have been a good fight, don't you think? The Army was not giving that one up easy. We need to be – can you imagine their own generals in the Army Air Corps saying, we need to be our own service? What? Well, you better be, because if your ass stays in this one, you're dead.
You're gutted now, bitch. Exactly. We're going to gut you like a pig.
Could you imagine that fight
that
went on?
The knife fight that went on in that. The knife fighting that went off in that? Ooh.
I never even considered that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to look for a book about that.
No, it is. I mean, it is pretty interesting. Like, we're having hearings. We think we should be our own service. Who the fuck said that? Oh, that was the guy with the pineapple.
Write that name down. Write that name down.
We want our own uniform? What? Yeah, we want it to be blue.
Write
that
name down.
We want it to be blue like the sky. All right. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the hell you have going on, Colonel. But you better straighten this shit out.
Whatever you're drinking, you better stop right now.
Stop
it right now.
All right. You belong to us, right? The Marine Corps has its own Air Force, okay? We have ours. Like, why should we allow it to be separate? That's a good question.
We've battled for our own Air Force to keep it. Because, you know, the Air Force has reluctantly, you know, and unsuccessfully tried to take both the Navy and the Marine Corps' air wing out. So, you know, the Air Force thinks that anything that goes above your reach, like you have to jump. Once you jump in the sky, you're in Air Force territory now, boys. You know, every time you leave the ground, like I said, just for that split second, you jump. The Air Force has to know about it.
It is an interesting little question, isn't it?
Yeah. What? I'm going to look in for a book. I want a book on that. I want to read about that.
Because
when
you look at the post-World War II era, the Reformation of the Reformation period, as we religious zealots call it, the Marine Corps was going to go away. Okay? And the Army was going to absorb, you know, part of the Marine Corps. And the Marine Corps, the officers in the Marine Corps were told not to lobby Congress, and they, you know, the Elder Krulak, you know, and the whole Chowder Society thing, they absolutely disobeyed orders. They put on civilian clothes, they went up, and they lobbied. They got the Marine Corps at three divisions and three air wings written into law. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. They got it written in the law, and they disobeyed orders the entire time. There's a guy named O'Connell that wrote a book at the Naval Academy about it that came out within the last 2 years. Pretty interesting little read about the underhanded shenanigans, right, and the way the Marine Corps went to war with
the Navy.
Everybody, like cage match. And so I'd be curious, like, but see – we were a Philip Brown service, though. What you had in the Army was an insurrection led by Air Force generals, Hap Arnold, you know, Patton, Bradley. Like, why do I want to take orders from those dickheads?
During the time when, like, Eisenhower, you know, before he came president, he was still a pretty powerful guy. Omar Bradley. You know, to even bring that up would have been suicide.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're Hap Arnold or, you know.
Yeah, who else?
Doolittle or whoever.
Yeah,
you know?
All those guys, yeah. Hey, also I know.
Big deal.
Eisenhower, he can kiss my ass. He doesn't know. I'm not taking orders from him.
And then when he becomes president?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. hey. MacArthur? Okay, look, that dude's straight up crazy, okay? He's running his own empire in the Pacific. Okay,
he's Napoleon Bonaparte.
So he needs to rein that idiot in. The Air Force became a subordinate element of the Army Air Forces on June 20th, 1941. It was abolished as an administrative organization on 9 March 1942, it continued to exist as a branch of the Army, similar to the infantry, quartermaster, or artillery, until reorganization provisions of the National Security Act of 1947 on July 26, 1947. That's the fight that we want to read about.
I'll bet you they wrote that in there, hoping that the Army would never proofread that document, and they probably didn't. And it was signed into law.
So, and then, like, guys are walking in their office, and you have guys wearing these, like, blue uniforms. Packing their stuff up. Where you going, boys?
Oh, you didn't hear? I'm going to, instead of calling it Fort Benning, I'm going to, you know, Dick's Air Force Base. What? It should be Fort Dick. Not anymore, boys or girls. It's called Dick's Air Force Base.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, man. Well, imagine being an Army guy on a base that's being redesignated as an Air Force Base. You know, how awkward that'd be. Like, how many boxes do you need to get your shit out of this office?
In practice.
And you know what? It's too bad I wasn't around. I would have loved been like the Air Force. Just walking around to everybody, just burning it into them.
This is this. In practice, the Army Air Forces became virtually independent of the Army during World War II, but its leaders wanted formal independence. In November of 1945, Eisenhower became Chief of Staff of the Army, while General Carl Spatz began to assume the duties of Commanding General Army Air Forces in anticipation of General Arnold's announced retirement. One of Eisenhower's first actions was to appoint a board of officers headed by Lieutenant General William H. Simpson to prepare a definitive plan for the reorganization of the Army and the Air Force that could be effected without enabling legislation and would provide for the separation of the Air Force and the Army. Eisenhower did it. On 29 January 1946, Generals Eisenhower and Spatz agreed on an Air Force organization composed of Strategic Air Command, Air Defense Command, Tactical Air Command, Air Transport Command, Air Technical Service Command, Air Training Command, and Air University, and the Air Force Center.
Yeah, then I bet he got something out of it.
Okay. Over the continuing objections of the Navy, which feared losing its arm and strategic role in the new service, the United States Department of the Air Force was created by the National Security Act of 47. The act became effective. President Truman signed it. On 18 September 1947, the Army Air Force became the United States Air Force as a separate and equal element of the United States Armed Forces. Man. The fledgling Air Force quickly established its own identity. Army airfields were renamed Air Force bases, and personnel were soon issued new uniforms, new rank insignia. Once the new Air Force was free of Army domination, its first job was to discard the old and inadequate ground Army organizational structure. Oh, you could imagine. Hey, what are you guys up to? We're just unscrewing ourselves from you slimy jackasses.
What are you doing to the club? We're unjackassing it. It's going to even be better than you can ever imagine. It's going to be an Air Force club. The desire to go there is going to be overwhelming.
It's going
to
be the best club around. We're not going to have a bunch of
Is that the new base CG's house? No, that's standard housing for all enlisted people in the Air Force. What?
Hey, how come you just didn't
salute? Whose beautiful golf course is getting overhauled? Is that the new officer? No, that's E1 to E3 private golf course. What?
Hey, how come you don't salute that guy? Saluting is optional.
It's demeaning to,
enlisted.
We look at it as demeaning.
It's we're not subservient.
Yeah. What?
You know there was some awesome throwdowns.
Then even better is, you can serve in the Air Force in 2 years. And this is pre-war and still look like have so many more badges than the Army and like a third world dictator within 2 years in the Air Force. You think the Army's bad when it comes to badges and gadgets and things hanging from your uniform?
Ugh.
That is look at the Air Force uniforms.
Yeah.
It's like fishing lures on their, they have some of the stuff so bright, it's like a fishing lure. You just get stuck looking at it. And they like that.
Yeah, and you feel bad because here you've been like on active duty in the Marine Corps for like 15 years, you know, and you're trying to start your third row of ribbons, and here this Lance Corporal in the Air Force, they don't have Lance Corporals,
whatever they are,
and
the airmen, just call them airmen,
and they really don't have senior Lance Corporals. The they come rolling in. And they look like Audie Murphy. You're like, damn.
Oh, yeah. But then when you get into, like, hey, what's that one for? Oh, this one is for driving 55 in a 55 for 30 days straight. And this one here, this one is actually pretty coveted. This is actually making sure that you're always secured out of your office by 1,400 every day. And you're never in your office after 1,400. And you're never in your office before 08. If you can do that for 30 days, you get that medal.
And what's this one? This is for I can repair any air conditioner because we can't go anywhere.
This one is for loading a pistol, and this one next to it is for unloading the pistol without shooting myself. Yeah. And every time you do that, you get a gold star.
Well, and then you get this one, but you don't have any shooting badges. Oh, I've never fired it. Yeah, we don't.
No. I can describe it. That's what this one's for. I can describe the sensation of shooting, and I can also describe the psychological damage of shooting. So that's why I get the oak leaf cluster on it.
Let me tell you, we do hear about these kind of things in the Marine Corps. For instance, one of them is they don't actually shoot the service rifle in boot camp. They shoot a they shoot a pellet gun,
pellet pistol, pellet gun.
And,
qualify.
What?
It's a gun. But what?
What? And then you heard the Mike. Can you explain
the ISMET, the indoor simulation thing, qualification qual?
Can you explain the timeout card in boot camp?
Here's a pocket full of quarters. Go to the local arcade. Go play Zombies Apocalypse. And if you can shoot 100 zombies with three quarters, you get a ribbon.
And if you bring me back the bear, you get this ribbon.
Yeah. So, yeah, timeout, the timeout card.
Yeah, can you explain that
to
me?
If you felt isolated, threatened, you just felt you needed a break, you'd basically ask for a timeout. Like, hey, I'm experiencing rapid heart fluctuations, and I need a timeout. Okay, and then they'd let you go for, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on if they're a nice guy. But they used to do it all the time. But now it's gotten to the point where, Mac, it's so, man, they don't yell. You're only yelling. The Army's PFT test, or the Air Force PFT test is just like, either I think it's on a treadmill or a bicycle, and you just got to maintain a heart rate of like 140 beats per minute for 2 minutes. Pass.
That's it?
Yeah. Shit, there's guys in the Air Force that, drink enough sugar, enough coffee, don't even have to get on the bike. Just stand there and pass. Sir, you're going to do the PFT test. Okay. All you can do here in my office here, I'm going to button my shirt. Go ahead. Maintain it for 140. All right, let me have another sip of coffee. There we go.
All right. Let's see.
And you get a ribbon for that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Air Force Basic. He's not lying about that. Air Force basic training physical fitness requirements. 2 mile run. Minimum graduation standard is 16 minutes and 45 seconds.
2 miles and 16 minutes?
2 miles and 16 minutes and 45 seconds is passing.
Whoa!
Thunderbolt honor is if you do it in 16 minutes.
Wait a second, what?
That's the Thunderbolt honor. Honor graduate, minimum standard, 16 minutes. If you want to be a Thunderbolt honor graduate, 2 miles and 16 minutes. If you
thought you just said the passing is 16
minutes. No, the minimum to graduate is 16 minutes and 45 seconds. If you want,
they just got to run 45 seconds faster, yeah, and you get the Thunderbolt.
You get the Thunderbolt.
You're a Thunderbolt.
If you want to be a Marine Corps Thunderbolt, you got to run 3 miles in under 18 minutes. What?
That's fair.
Wait a minute.
Whoa. We got to run an extra mile in almost the same time. What? This is not fair. What is that? How come I signed up with this program?
You stupid. Oh, yeah.
You that's all they do, though, right?
They do sit-ups. Sit-ups in one minute. Minimum is 50 sit-ups in a minute. And to be a Thunderbolt graduate, you have to do 60.
Man, they don't. That's a big margin. They probably got, like, only two Thunderbolts running around in the whole Air Force.
Let's see. This is, what is the Air Force physical fitness test standards?
Yeah.
You're required to pass the basic military PFT to graduate from boot camp and continue on to advanced individual training. The three PFT events are 1 minute of push-ups, 1 minute of sit-ups, and a timed mile and a half run.
There's more to that. That's not, you don't have to do, look up, like you said, there's, I don't know, man. I remember that sounds pretty, like, daunting for those poor guys.
They have another.
You'd think they would do a congrip by now. Yeah, they probably have your congressman shutting that shit down by now, man. I don't believe that. That's torture. That's Guantanamo Bay, man.
What was your introduction to the Air Force after you had been in the Marine Corps?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, really? Mine was, where did I go? I'd probably been a first lieutenant, and I was driving to Camp Lejeune to go to Ground Officer Supply School. I've been augmented, and I got augmented as a supply officer. So I was going to ground the GSOC, Ground Officer Supply Course, and we were driving across the country, Susan and I, because she was going to go there and then fly back home. So she was going to drive there with me and hang out. So, you know, a lot of fun. But anyway, we drove on to the base in Huntsville, Alabama. And so we drive onto a base, and we know what to expect on a base, right? Brown everywhere, gyms that suck, right? Old broken down gas stations made of wood from World War II, shit like that. We drive onto the Air Force base.
Yeah, and it's like Future Land in Disneyland.
It's like going to the Scott Center.
Yeah.
All the grass is green, right? The gym.
Yeah, it's like going to your rich uncle's house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the gym looks like 24-hour fitness.
That's all the good people live.
Yeah. Everybody looks young. There's nobody that's walking around with, like, cigarettes. Right. And, like, their hand formed in the shape of a coffee cup, right? All bent over, looking nasty, staring at you.
No.
They don't
I'm telling you.
But they don't have signs that say 15 means 15. Like, their signs don't yell at you either. So, yeah, it was different experience.
Without going into too much detail.
Hold on.
I
want you to go into detail. And then Susan says,
no, I'm not going into detail.
Why are their bases so much nicer?
Because they spend the money on that, on, you know, quality of life.
They do. And then when they run out of money, they come back and they say, hey, we got this great base in Huntsville. We got no runway.
Yeah, they run out of money and they come back for Congress and they say, we need more money.
Yeah,
they get more money.
Yeah, because they build a runway.
The Marine Corps.
They build a runway last.
Infinite wisdom. Yeah. The infinite wisdom in the Marine Corps is, we can do more with less, boys.
Yeah. We brag about it. We've been doing.
You can't, Marine Corps. You can do more with more. That's how that works. You can never do more with less. If I give you 12 bricks and tell you to build me a 6-foot wall, you can't.
We can.
Physically. Impossible.
No, we can't.
Marine Corps is going to figure out a way.
We can. We're going to.
Yeah, they'd put Marines up and act as the wall.
Yeah, we're going to steal
human beings with 6 bricks in between each, or each Marine holding one of the 6 bricks.
Right.
That's your 6-foot wall.
There you go. There you go.
But you can't do more with less. You can only do more with more.
No, that's not what. Hey, we've made, right? We've been in business for 242 years.
We paid with our ass. So whatever the delta was,
that was your ass.
We were short 30%, whatever.
That was your 30% ass.
It was 30% of Marines' asses that went into whatever project to make it happen.
Yeah.
So that delta was always made up by ass.
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing so much with so little for so long. We can do just about, what's the rest of that saying?
Yeah,
just about anything forever.
The Air Force has been doing way more with a lot more for a lot longer.
For a lot
shorter. And we started figuring this one out. We've started to get some smart guys that go, you know, because the thing that cracks, and I've been up there, Congress even goes, come on, seriously. Just tell us you need a little bit more. We'll give you more. No.
No.
No, seriously.
We want less.
Here. Yeah.
Can you cut?
No, we're happy with what we got.
Can you cut our budget?
$2 billion. You don't want an extra $2 billion?
No.
No, we don't know what we would do with that. Put it into housing. No, the Marines are fine. And the ones that aren't fine, we just make them live in tents anyway.
Yeah. No, we put them up in Wire City at Camp Pendleton. Wire Mountain.
Yeah.
Remember Wire Mountain?
No. Yeah.
Wire Mountain was a ghetto at Camp Pendleton.
No, you're making fun of ghettos right now.
I'm sorry.
You're giving ghettos a bad name by putting
that's an insult to every respectable ghetto in the country.
The Crips and the Bloods would drive around Wire Mountain. They would never drive to it. They would say, shit, dog, I ain't going in there.
I had one of my sergeants by the name of Nolan Egmo. His wife hit him in the head with a mirror like the night before that we were going to deploy. And then he was trying to get out of the house. He jumps in the car. He had made a gasket for his car out of cardboard, right? And so he jumps in the car. She jumps on the hood. He drives away. She somersaults onto the grass. The cardboard catches on fire. The car catches on fire. It's one of those stories that you're like, what? Wait a minute. Go back to she hit you in the head with the – yeah, she was waiting outside the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was hiding because she – sir, when she goes crazy, she goes crazy.
And then in the backyard, there was a penguin with a top hat having sex with a dog.
No,
stop. No, I'm serious. I mean, you never know what you're going to get out.
And you're like a second. I'm a second lieutenant. I look at my staff sergeant, and he just nods his head, "Yes, sir."
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And that penguin had a monocle in his eye.
Exactly. Like the one.
And a little cane. And a little cane, and he walked around.
Yeah. And this one was like a total no shitter. Well, then what happened? Well, sir, I got out of the house. She hit me in the mirror. She kind of knocked me silly for a second, and I fell down. But then I got up. I got out, and I grabbed my keys. I ran into – I hopped in the station. They had, like, the Ford Country Squire station wagon with, like, the wood simulated wood panels on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have one of those. She heard the engine start. She comes running out, and she jumps on the hood. And then she stands, and I started driving slow, and then I turned – And then I stepped on the gas a little, and she fell off. You're like, good God! Well, how did the fire start? Oh, so I'd replaced the gasket, and I ran out of gasket material, so I used cardboard. I thought that would work.
Yeah.
And that's how the Camp Pendleton Fire Department got involved. Yes, sir. And I told them what happened, and then they called the MPs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Shit. Like, where do we start?
Every day occurrence, man.
And that went on, no shit, in Wire Mountain and Camp Pendleton. It was like a rough
place. Wire Mountain 1 and Wire Mountain 2.
Yeah, and they were like
there was another place. I don't remember. There was another place, though, that was worse than Wire Mountain.
Were those things old barracks? How did Wire Mountain get built?
No, it was old homes. It was like a quadplex. It was like those. You know, like under the freeway passes in the East Coast, you see those buildings that look like apartments, but they're under freeway passes.
Yeah.
And even homeless people don't want to live there.
Yeah.
those are the same building. Like eight families live in one building, and you go through like one entrance.
Okay. And you see them in places like Baltimore, you know? I mean, like hardcore, century
old. Under freeways. Yeah. Under freeways. Their sun never, the buildings always look brand new because the sun never hit them.
Yeah, that's...
They're in the shade of...
When you grow up in California, it's pretty interesting when you go to the East Coast and you see, like, century-old poverty. You're like...
Despair. Yeah, real poverty.
Yeah, you're like... I remember driving through Baltimore and going, good God,
man. I
mean,
kids really making mud pies and eating them.
Yeah.
That's all they have for food.
Yeah, it was like those tenements...
That's the East Coast poverty.
Hardcore East Coast poverty. I'd never, you know, you never see it growing up out here. You know, poverty is like Inglewood.
In California.
Yeah, it's urban, it's suburban.
In California, you can go rummage through a garbage can and get a meal.
Yeah,
shit. Okay. In Maryland? In Baltimore? No.
Bmore?
You're eating dirt, mud pies in Baltimore.
Yeah, it is certainly a cultural eye opener because, you know, when you grow up either in rural small town America or you know, in the West, you just don't have those kind of hardcore century old ghettos that are that way. And so when you see one,
yeah,
like
poor people in California, that's middle class in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. TVs.
Poor people in Philadelphia.
And a car.
Poor people in Philadelphia. Californians wouldn't even comprehend that level of poverty.
And the other thing.
Wait a second. You take a shower when? A shower? What the fuck is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I just swore again. What the hell is that?
You should see Wire Mountain. You should see Wire Mountain today, Mike.
I mean, you put water on your body? What? What is this crazy thing you speak of?
Wire Mountain today is beautiful. It all got torn down.
Yeah,
man.
There was another place that was actually off base. You had to go around.
You had to out the back gate, right?
No. You had to go out the front gate. But you know where that school is now? Right out the front gate on the left-hand side?
Yes.
Okay. So you used to have to go down that road, make a left, go past the school, and then go all the way down, and then come back on base. I'm going to find it. That place, dude. That place, because that was the military police officer on Camp Brompton for my short duration of that, when
before,
that place existed.
Before
and when
you,
they used
before,
to tell us,
hey, before he asked the master sergeant if he could give him a massage too.
No, man, that was PSC for Mansky, and I would never do that. And if I run into her ever, I don't care if she's a girl or not, I'm gonna break her teeth. That person really pissed me off, man.
Oh my God! There's Wire Mountain 1. There's Wire Mountain 2. There's Wire Mountain 3.
I'll never forget that. Why are you making me drive, Corporal? Because I'm a woman? No, you're a PFC, so you better shut your mouth and keep driving. You're lucky you're not a guy, because I would already hit you by now. Those are the conversations that used to take place. I can't believe you're making me drive. It's just because I'm a girl. No, you little shit. Because you're a PFC. I'm a goddamn corporal. And if you ever spoke to me like that in the infantry, you have already been your head buried in the mud.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or the time when, hey, let's go. We got to go. And then she gets in, sits in next to me, looks at me and goes, don't ever talk like that in front of my boyfriend again.
Ooh.
What?
What? No.
Oh, dude. Yeah. There were so many times, like, I'd look around and be like, where, I need a pillow.
What?
To shoot into so the blood splatter doesn't get on me and anywhere else. Oh, if I only had a pillow. I guess that's why I'm still around today. Because if I would have run across the pillow.
It's a good thing that you didn't.
I would have been in prison. Yeah.
Okay, so there's Wire Mountain 1 and 2.
And that was Pittman, by the way. Master Sergeant Pittman, Medal of Honor winner, 3-5.
Are you kidding me?
Master Sergeant was getting a massage. He was in charge of, he was a military policeman just before he left. He was getting massaged by her one morning in briefing. So I walked up.
Would you like me to massage you later, Mansart? Like, yeah, that's what I thought.
The,
dirty old man.
See, I would have, I should have been enlisted. I could have been a good enlisted Marine. I would have enjoyed it way more than the officer corps. It sounds like a good time.
It is.
It sounds like the fun, it sounds like the fun part of the military.
There were times, yeah. There were times.
And you said,
yeah, there were times.
You said women like enlisted Marines way more than they like officers.
Oh yeah, definitely. Dude. When I was an enlisted guy, I can't tell you how many officers I used to hook up with.
What,
man,
a scumbag.
Crazy.
How old were you when you got married?
Like swatting flies in Florida on a hot summer day.
How old were you when you got married?
The first time?
You've only been married once.
No, I was married twice.
How old were you when you got married the first time?
I was a young buck. I was probably about 20.
Whoa.
But that wedding, that marriage only lasted 6 months.
All right, so that we won't really count that. How old
no, I don't.
Were you married?
Then I was 27.
That's a good age.
So I had 7 years of complete hardcore debauchery. I mean, like, crazy. Like, the letters that used to be back in, like, the magazines,
right.
You know, Playboy or Hustler
right.
Or Penthouse.
Oh, that was you?
No. That shit was child, you know, kindergarten. Like, what? Come on, seriously? That's all that happened? Should that happen before it's 9 o'clock in the morning every day?
Mac, ask the gunner about the Pocahontas comment. Did you think the Pocahontas comment was racist or inappropriate or both?
If it's inappropriate unless it's made by someone of my, like me, because I'm Native American Indian.
18,
so only I can reference the, 18, the princess, 18%, Indian princess.
18%. Okay, so
yeah. So
yesterday the president's comment was.
But if a white man like you
or the
used it, then yes, it's racist. It's a slur.
All right. There you have it.
But it's like me. It's like, you know, like I said, only Native American Indians can, you know, make fun of themselves in that way or use those epithets.
But he wasn't making fun of them. He was simply, he was making fun of Elizabeth Warren.
Dude, there's so much shit going on. There's so much, again, look, this is what we're concerned about, seriously, and there's so much real crap that needs to be worried about, and we're worried about with the, you know, Pocahontas comment by the president of the state. That's the stupidity of this world that we live in.
It's what consumes us. That's the top story in the nation.
Stupidity.
Right.
And the reason you know that's true is, you know, our number one TV shows out there are our reality TV shows. You sit in front of a TV watching somebody else's life, and that's entertainment. Get me a break. You know, I've said this before. Do you know what the cure for that is? Take yourself out. Because if you think entertainment is someone else's reality, You, my friend, don't deserve to be consuming the same air as I.
Well, that's kind of harsh.
I don't care. Well,
let me ask you this: Why do you think the Kardashians are so?
Because she had sex and released a tape.
Okay, but why do you think so many people watch it?
In any other culture, that would be an immoral act. It would
not
a non-virtuous act.
No, not in any other culture. The Canadians, they'd be all over it. They love that stuff.
No, what I'm saying is any other culture, like normal culture. We're not normal. That's what I keep telling you, Mac. The island keeps growing in size.
Mm-hmm.
My re-education camp is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And more people are going to end up there for the silliest reason. Well, I'm a conservative, yes, but you watch reality TV. Get in line. but I support the Second Amendment. Yes, thank you very much. Stay in line. He also has a Kim Kardashian sticker on your car, your bumper. So, right next to your NRA sticker. So, I'm sorry. Sorry. It pains me.
They're huge.
It pains me to do this.
They're huge.
Believe me, they're huge. Hurts me more than it's going to hurt you.
My mom used to say that.
Yeah. No, that's not true. It's never true when someone says that, by the way.
It's the biggest lie you've
ever heard. It definitely hurts you more than it's going to hurt the person saying that.
It's such
Let me hit you with this switch, Dad.
Yeah. See how much it hurts me.
Yeah. And tell me the pain. Give me a pain comparison on a one to tail scale.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad. Check this one out.
You're experiencing a three when you're spanking me? A three? All right, let me just reverse roles. What is it now? Nine? Good?
Yeah, and then, okay, Dad, let me go ahead, put your hand behind your ass, and let me crack your wrist, and let me break your wrist for you and see how you like that one. Tell me if that one hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah. Like, come on, man. What are you, crazy?
And I'll give you that extra back for faking the first hit. Oh, I didn't hit you yet. Oh, okay. Remember that?
I do.
They miss or something or glance off something, you bake it anyway. Oh,
knock it off.
Then you're busted, dude. Then you get two extra lashes just for shits and giggles.
I haven't even got you good yet. Damn it. I thought she'd buy it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to bite on that one.
No, that sucks. I honestly don't. Yeah, but we're from a different culture, I guess, so it doesn't make any sense to us.
Island's getting bigger.
The island is getting bigger. It's just, I don't know. Somebody was asking, like, well, what changes all of this stuff? And I don't know what changes all of it.
Gunner's Island of happiness will change everything.
Gunner's Island of remedial happiness. We're going to take you back to basics.
I wouldn't use the word remedial because that would ensue that maybe there's a possibility that you would leave the island.
Oh, there's no leaving? You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, no. This is kind of more like on the, I don't like to use the word, but it would be, man, it's just such an unpopular word, but I can't think of anything else.
Hey, I got a new cell phone last week. I got a Samsung Note 8. And one of the things that you can, like, take notes, right? Which, actually, I like the feature.
That's the name Note 8 in its name.
Yeah. Note, because you can take a note. So one of the things I discovered as I was exploring my phone is you can, like, they have this thing, it says, like, Quick Note. And you can take your little stylus and you can, like, customize it. And so you can you select the background and then you select what kind of writing. And one of the writings is sparkle. So you could, like, you could write, like, you're a douchebag in, like, sparkle writing. Like E.T., like, going through the sky writing. And so I've really taken to that feature on my phone. So I write notes to my daughters, which is driving them crazy.
I'm trying really hard to keep you off the list for the island. I really am.
What, because of my sparkle writing? That's harmless.
Well, no, because you're my friend, and so I'm making an exception.
Yeah, you can't send. You can't put your friends on. Hey, our friend, our buddy has gallstones. Have you spoken to him? He thinks he's dying.
Gallstones or kidney stones?
What did the note say? Kidney stones?
Yeah, I had gallstones. They don't hurt.
Oh, are you kidding me? You whine like a washerwoman.
Please. I didn't hurt at all. Now, when I had kidney stones, it really...
Yeah, no. Buddy, I'm headed to the hospital with kidney stones. Kidney stones. Yeah, so... I had two of them.
So tomorrow...
I have two removed surgically.
And what, kidney stones?
And a tube up my yah-yah for a week. It's not fun. Well, you know what? God's punishing you.
Yah-yah.
Yeah, God's punishing you for something.
Why? Who calls it a yah-yah?
Oh, I don't want to say any. You've already used enough profanity today. I don't want to alienate whoever's listening that might be alienated by such a thing.
Is junk?
Yes, I think that'd be the appropriate. That's not the term.
Okay.
That's not the term he used.
I know, but a yaya, I think what girls refer to their private part.
Oh, well, he doesn't have those.
Yeah.
He hasn't had the surgery yet. He's just going through the mental portion of the conversion. Woo! Yeah, boom!
If he's listening, man, he's going to call in later. What? He's going to be pissed.
Why are
you guys giving me a hard time? I can't defend myself.
But truth be told, we haven't said his name, right? So we protected his identity.
Right. He doesn't see. Now he'll know who we're talking about.
He knows
but
who
no
he
one
is.
Else knows.
Nobody else knows.
Right.
But you're right. He's probably ripping the catheter out as we speak. His wife's screaming at him. And he's like yelling stuff like, I'm not having this. I'm not taking this anymore. You're bleeding.
Out of your hoo-ha or ya-ya, whatever.
You're bleeding. You're bleeding. Mac, is there pornography in the world of the Muslim?
In
the world of the Muslim.
In the world of what?
Of the Muslim.
Muslim?
Yeah. I guess the Islamic world that we used to live in. I've never seen any. I never saw any. So,
you've never seen a Muslim then.
No, I've never seen.
Dude, they are the worst.
What?
They're the worst.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, where if normal people, people will argue this, but normal people that like looking at that stuff like to look at normal stuff, you know?
Uh-oh. Right. Hey, be careful. Hey, be really careful. My spidey sense is telling me that we don't need to talk about this.
Yeah, no, they would probably have a magazine about, remember I was talking about the penguin's top hat with chains having sex with a dog in the backyard? They probably got a magazine on it. You know,
here's another email.
110 page color photograph page magazine.
Mac, quick,
bi-weekly.
Ask him about the Afghan bear dog, if you want to change the subject. You know what? That was one of the funniest shows we've ever done. The Afghan bear dog show?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I can...
That show...
I mean, I can
along,
always visualize it.
Along with the fruit bat. Because they came
no,
up in the
bear
same...
bear dog was the scariest.
They came
I
up
mean,
in the same
the bear
show.
Dog, the bear dog was the scariest. Because like I said, that's where... The fruit bat can't eat you.
I know, but it's the way that it's in the jungle. It's dark, and all of a sudden the fruit bat.
Yeah, but the bear
kind
dog,
of
man.
Wizard of Oz, the Wizard of Oz kind of thing going through your head. What was your reaction when you saw the fruit bat? Did you actually encounter the fruit bat, or just
no?
No,
I didn't see it. We had a meeting engagement, and then I felt it around me. Like it was trying to get off me. I was trying to get off of it. We were rolling around in the freaking jungle grass on Boundary Grills. Whatever you might call it, but it's just that hairy, cold, leathery, clammy. Oh,
you had a physical encounter with a fruit bat.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's not good. Yeah. No. Hey, anybody out there that has not seen a picture of a fruit bat, Google that. Fruit bat.
And if you ever walk through. It's the feeling of, if you ever walk through a huge spider web and get it in your hair and your face.
Yeah, in your face and all that. You can't get
and
it
you're
out.
Like, that got that. You get the heebie-jeebies. You're like, ooh. Okay. That's like, put 1,000 times more on that heebie-jeebie feeling where your skin is just crawling.
So you want me to multiply that times 1,000?
Yeah. That's the feeling of when you're wrestling with the fruit bat on the ground.
And what was everybody else doing, laughing?
Fucking dying. Yeah, well, it was dark out, too, so only, like, the first two or three people got it. Everybody else behind that, I think my platoon sergeant or my squad leader, by the time he got up, we were already broken. You know, the bat disengaged, I disengaged, and he's looking at me like, I'm the shithead. Like, what the fuck are you yelling for, muscleman? You know, this is a patrol. You're supposed to be quiet. I'm like, but, shut the hell up. And I'm like, well, how am I getting the boy? Shut the hell up. You know?
Right. Right. And you just had a near death experience with a fruit bat.
Yeah. And the first two guys, and that to them, that's even funnier when I'm getting scolded for being loud.
Right.
You know?
After you thought you were going to die. And how old were you? 19?
Oh, yeah. I was like 18, 19. Yeah. It's like not even a year in the Marine Corps, man.
Doesn't know shit.
Boot camp, chow, coming out my butt still.
That's awesome.
I have no experience.
But do you think a bear dog? I never remember a bear dog eating somebody. Not that it didn't happen.
Dude, the bear dog. Okay, so I'm looking at a tree right now in front of me.
Right.
And it's a big oak tree, you know. So the it's probably about 40 feet tall, four stories. The trunk of that thing is probably about 6 foot, maybe 7 foot diameter.
Right.
Or circumference. Yeah. I'm sorry, circumference.
Right.
You know, so it's a big tree, right? So it's almost, the tree was almost that, but you could see the roots coming out. You know, so the ground had eroded.
Right.
So the roots were still popping out.
Right.
And that chain, the chain is the thing that, like I said, the chain is, when I saw the chain first, in my mind, I'm like, what do you put around a chain? That chain that looks like an anchor chain off of a ship, like a cruise liner.
Yeah, it's got to be like the giant in Gulliver's Travels, Gulliver's Island.
Yeah.
That so giant's around here somewhere.
The chain is around this, and I'm looking at this going, I've never seen a chain this far inland. Usually you see them in the harbors, you know, this far inland. And then wrapped around a tree with, you know, what is this chain to? And
maybe
then,
did it occur to you that maybe you'd stumbled onto Noah's Ark? That's the only thing that could be this far inland in this part of the world.
I don't know what I was stumbling onto, but when I saw the chain move, and then I looked at the other end where the chain was attached to, and that thing, I mean, it shook the whole tree to its foundation. And I could see that the power in this dog, and I'm thinking to myself, and all I remember was I'm carrying a 5.56 round, you know, 30 rounds. All this dog is going to, all that's going to do is get blood on his food.
Yeah, first of all, half of them aren't going to hit, right? The other half are just not even going to slow this beast down.
Yeah, it's just going to, all it's going to do is piss him off. He's going to feel a bee sting, and then he's going to have his blood on his food, being me, as he's trying to eat me through my body armor.
Which means you're going to have a heartbeat the whole time eating you. You're going to have a heartbeat because your body armor is going to stay on.
I would have opped myself. As soon as that thing would have started chomping up, I would have grabbed my pistol, and then I would have shot myself.
Oh, all right. That makes complete sense to me.
I would have not. I would rather story be, shit, the gunner just shot himself from preventing him from getting eaten by a bear dog than, the gunner was eaten by a bear dog. No, I like the, man, shit, gunner just offed himself. That's hard, man.
Our friend our friend that has the catheter tells a similar really funny story about a bear dog
not the whole story of, hey, we got to wait 12 hours before a muscleman comes out the other end of this thing.
We're trying to pull him out by his ears. No, our friend with the catheter has a really funny story at night about going to make a head call and being out kind of outside the wire doing something, and like he heard the sound of an elephant. Except he thinks there's no elephants in this part of the world. They're all in India.
Yeah.
What? How can there be? And it was a bear dog. It was a bear dog coming through across a river after he drank half of it. He was looking for food. He was looking for food. And he talked.
And he crossed the river, and only his ankles got wet.
No, these are guys with, like, multiple combat tours, right? I mean, they're fighters, right?
Oh, dude.
And they're running. They're running like the paperboy runs from a German Shepherd.
I relish the firefights. I look forward to getting into firefights. Engaging in mortal combat with other human beings was a natural high. Running into a bear dog, and I ran into one in daylight. Running into one in pitch blackness with no leash? Yeah. Holy shit, dude. That was rancid.
The story
is... he didn't shoot himself just to prevent that. Bam!
I was not going to be taken alive by that bear dog. All right. Yeah. That's enough out of you. All right. Any big plans for this afternoon?
No, I'm over at Ralph's helping him out right now, so we're in his garage straightening.
You're not going to straighten his garage after you got done with the shooting house? Have you been back to the shooting house?
It's clean, yeah. They've been doing a good job. So I was there yesterday with a bunch of the Texas Rangers.
You haven't had to chew anybody's ass because
No, it's clean. Rangers are like Marines; they clean up after themselves.
I know, I'm sure there's other people that use the shooting house, right? Somebody had Thanksgiving dinner in there.
Other
bullshit.
Brenda, the wife of Ron, has reminded him to keep that clean, otherwise he'll lose his own privileges to his own place.
Do you now consider that one of your something that you own?
No, I don't.
You don't? All right.
No.
Just checking.
No.
Because once you tend to be territorial, once you like with cars and things like that.
No, I just like neatness and organization.
Yeah, but okay. All right. I like neatness. So once you make it neat and somebody makes it unneat, do you take exception to that?
Yeah, I kind of make it.
There you go. It becomes personal. All right.
All right, man. I will talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Bye. There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman. You know, and the best part about those stories is that they're true. When you hear a guy who's like fought in places like Fallujah, Ramadi, and they start like talking about how terrified they were of this bear dog. Literally, you're on the ground with tears coming out of your eyes. It is. Like, what's that chain for? It looks like the anchor's chain for Noah's Ark. Maybe I've discovered the Ark of the Covenant. Oh my God. How about that? And then this gigantic dog comes around the corner and tries to eat you. Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, my thanks to John Ubaldi for coming on today. My thanks to Mike Musselman. You can find the Ubaldi reports on the internet. You can check it out. Retired Master Gunnery Sergeant. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Colonel Weston Fox, who lived a great life, and we'll celebrate that. We'll have people on tomorrow that hopefully served with him. And again, I'm fascinated. Was it a battlefield commission? Because it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in his bio. And battlefield commission, I would think that would be something that was mentioned, but like I could be wrong about that. So, with all of that said, have a great afternoon. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.